Hey, I read this morning that they're going to create a new programming IDE just for barbers. The title is going to be Eclipse. Welcome back. It's yet another Nerd Roundup. If you've never been to a Nerd Roundup before, you really haven't missed much in your life, but we're happy to have you back this week. Even though if you haven't watched it before, you wouldn't be back, would you? Contradictions abound in Nerd Roundups, as does humor. What we do in Nerd Roundup every week is sit down and look at the tech stories the past week from a nerdy standpoint, looking to have as much fun and goof off as much as possible. Hopefully this will be content-free and technical at the same time, which is kind of a tough trick to pull off. I believe that teams that can relax and joke together can do damn near anything together. And I can't teach this in a course, but I can show you how it works. And that's what we do this week. And I have nobody this week. It looks like Discord has went down in the last half hour or so. I'm really sorry to hear this. Greg Young was interested in coming. I've got the app up in case he can come by. John Curran also wants to come by, but he's in the middle of traveling. And James is also traveling on business. Scott Amler is supposed to be here at any point. Scott is sort of the Elvis of Nerd Roundup. He comes and goes, and we think he still lives, or maybe he's abducted by aliens. Not really sure. And of course, we have the Uncle Bob, the Bobster. I haven't heard from Bob in some time. I hope Bob is well. I think he's busy doing Bobster type things, and he seems to enjoy those things, and I'm happy for him. So this week, we'll go over the Nerd Roundup articles. Usually, when I'm by myself, it goes kind of quick. So this would be good if you have like a pizza you've ordered or something really interesting going on in your life besides technical stuff. I was just actually reading this really cool what's new in F sharp for 6 thing, and they've got a inlining lambda thing. They've got some really inline if lambda, which is cool stuff. I need to spend some more time with this. Came in too late to put on the roundup, but I'm definitely interested in it. It is in the Discord room. We are now on Discord. There's a link at the end of this thing, and Discord hopefully will allow us to do real-time commenting and Q&A with the people as we go along. I'm really looking forward to playing around more of it. First article. But wait, before I do first article, what have I been doing this week? Not much, anything. My wife is still recuperating from her shattered arm, and I've been basically sort of a man Friday, helping her as much as I can, and I just can't do this work for an hour stop, work for an hour stop, as you'd probably know if you're a programmer. First article. Researchers, easy for me to say. Researchers build AI that builds AI. Wow, this is all kinds of meta. These things are called hyper networks. And as I understand from the article, basically AIs can be representative as graphs, whether or not they're neural nodes or ML or whatever. And they've built an AI that replaces tests and analyze graphs of other AIs, optimizing them. So it is an AI sitting on top of an AI. Lots of details are missing here, but the general idea is pretty dang awesome if it works. I want to see how this is supposed to work. The thing this would cut down on is the tuning time involved with machine learning, big data, and they're trying to cut down like a days or weeks tuning time to like maybe a few hours or so. Big news if they can do it. Next article. That's not the. What is the next article? Next article is old music killing new music. I had no idea this was going on. This is really wild. It turns out that as music has become more and more commoditized, less and less people are actually downloading and listening to new music, and people are instead buying and listening to the old music. I don't even know what to make of that. I think the music industry has changed from, gosh, in the last 80 years or so, from being sort of a custom big band deal where you go to a special event and you see it, to being this sort of semi background noise on the radio, to being a ever-present part of our lives, music in elevators. And now we've kind of reached the point where music is just bits kind of floating around. And as it keeps going down and down the hill of commoditization, it seems like the earlier music actually is more valuable. I think you can't reproduce some of the early performances because the artists are dead. And secondly, the early performances had to be of a higher musical quality in order to attract audiences. Whereas if things are cheaper to push out, you're just going to push a bunch of crap out, which is maybe where we are today. Don't know, but it's pretty interesting with the stats. Here we've got a chart. Wow. Yeah, old music rocks, new music not so much. And I know us old fogies have been kind of making that joke for some time, but it looks like the stats are backing that up. Next article has a new experiment just proven the quantum nature of gravity. Okay, so this is, I think, the third quantum gravity story I've read in the last week, which is really weird. If you don't know it, there's this big argument in the physics community. Is gravity a quantumized field function like everything else, or is it not? Is it just part of built-in part of space-time? Is it something else? Does the fact that the gravitational constant appears by itself mean that it's sort of a separate force than the other things? Bunch of really cool questions we're still sorting out. But these guys have done this cool experiment that demonstrates that particles display the Eberle-Bohm effect for gravitational forces, which basically means that they can be influenced by the fields of gravitational, whatever gravitation does, it can be affected by the fields of other particles. They're talking about using this to make better clocks and better things of all natures. They don't have a working quantum theory of gravity. They're just thinking that it is quantized. So that's really wild. They talked about the double slit experiment. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with my speech today. Yeah, it's just, this is really, really cool stuff. If you're interested in physics and all things quantum, bada boom, bada bing, here it is, my friends. Next article. This is a resource guide. I found it, I think, late last week. It's the Bash Guide. And it is at, where is it at? I think it's bashguide.com or maybe .org. Very, very cool stuff. This is the resource that the people in the Bash room use. People ask questions of them. If you don't know what Bash is, it stands for, Born Again Shell. I think it actually explains that first paragraph or so. Bash is the scripting programming OS language of Linux machines, including Ubuntu by default, although you can add a whole bunch of other stuff in there if you want. Everybody should be familiar with Bash, in my opinion, at least maybe the top dozen commands, and be familiar with what they can do, because Ubuntu and Linux and its ilk are pretty much taking over the world of servers, and it's free. And I think probably the biggest selling point I have for Bash, the rest of it all sucks, actually, but the biggest selling point I have for Bash is that had I learned more Bash in my 20s, I would not have to relearn a whole bunch of bullshit over the time past that. I could just use Bash for simple scripting ideas. Now, like I said, Bash gets really gnarly and bad in a hurry. Best thing you can do is learn Bash, number one. Number two, use code budgets. Whether you're using Bash scripting or really whatever your language, have a budget for the amount of code lines you're going to use for whatever function you have. If you go over that budget, you either don't know what you're doing or you're sprawling too far. You need some sort of limit on how you solve problems, and code budgets do that. A good way to force you to modularize, a good way to force you not to write your entire app, say, in Bash. You can do a lot of bad things without code budgets. Anyway, this is the Bash Guide. Cool stuff. The more I play around with Bash, the more fun stuff I find, which is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. What do we got next year? Yeah, this is from the U.S. Naval Institute. And the story is, naval cryptologic warfare officers cannot do cyber. So we're paying these people to go to college, we're giving them officer salaries, and they don't know, they're in charge of cryptology, they cannot do cyber. This is quite disturbing to me as a former Marine, a United States citizen. I think our military is so far behind the eight ball when it comes to computational skills and cyber warfare that I worry quite a bit about them. And as a citizen soldier, I encourage other people, do whatever you can to help these guys out, because they're just, oddly enough, they're just at sea, and they are the Navy. You think they would be used to that kind of thing, but I don't really think they understand the nature of the cyber warfare problem. When we get in near, there's Greg, come over, Greg, come back. Now you're almost there, Greg. Oh, he's on. Gotta do this. Hey, Greg. We're gonna round up. How to get back to this? Da 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 da. Yeah, here, nerd roundup. Okay. Yeah, start event. Yeah. Okay. Greg. Hey, Greg, all you have to do is add your video. And then you should, I think there's a button down at the bottom there. I can see your little icon. Oh, okay, maybe he'll come back. He's there. Sooner or later, Greg will come to the Nerd Roundup. All will be well. The next article here is Silicon Valley's New Obsession. And this is a really, really cool story about venture capitalists in Silicon Valley, what's cool with their funding, and the idea of a fast grant. And what they're talking about is that the researching funding system in the United States and around the world is horribly broken, and I completely agree with that. And to fix that, what they want to do is just give out money to individuals and tell them to go do cool stuff, which I think is really cool. Greg, he's back. He's out. He's back. How are you? Yeah, Greg, I think you just say start video. It's the server, yeah. Okay. He might be here, and he might not. Like I said, we're having problems with the Discord server. So Fast Grants, just instead of like funding really cool ideas, they just find really cool people, hand them a big bag of money, and say, hey, go do some cool stuff. Awesome, awesome idea. And there's Greg. Greg. Through the magic of...
Whoa! There was a big outage, apparently, on Discord.
Yeah, hey, I've got your audio fine. Right now, your video is like a little spinning blue dots. So I'm assuming you haven't, like, ascended. That you actually have a body there somewhere.
You might be surprised.
Hey, if you could ascend and still do video chatting, that would be really... I mean, I would make some calls then from the afterlife.
Well, I'm guessing a lot more people would end up ascending as well.
Yeah, you know, you talk about ascending quite a bit, and you move to a higher level from, they never talk about descending, like becoming a turtle, or I guess it's not kind of an uppity, really happy. What you been up to this week, Greg?
Oh, mostly getting my apartment and everything sorted here.
Ah, that's right.
You'd be amazed at how much paperwork goes back and forth with renting an apartment.
You're coming up. You probably had a lot of stuff to move, I imagine, right?
Oh, no, I haven't moved yet. It's just been dealing with all the paperwork
And Greg will return at any moment. You know, I don't think he still appears to be online, but I can't see him anymore. I don't think it'd be a nerd roundup if we didn't have people like freezing in place at some point and me singing a song or doing the weather. You never know if they're coming back or not. Maybe not. I will go to the next article. Researchers develop a new language for quantum computing. He said. Okay, so... time crystals, microwaves, diamonds. What do these disparate things have in common? Quantum computing. If you want to program time crystals with diamonds, you're going to want to know a quantum programming language. And they're developing the first quantum programming languages. The first one's called Twist. And Holmes here, I got to go see what Twist looks like. I could not find the language definition online. I found a whole crap ton of press releases, but I couldn't find the language itself. The funny thing is, he's gone now. They this analogy with wooden boxes, which kind of made sense. Yeah. Hold on a second. They make a point that you don't you set a variable without knowing what the variable is because the pattern the waveform has not collapsed yet. So you have a variable without a variable, and this is aims to fix it. It said the next step is to create a higher level quantum language because quantum programming languages today still resemble assembly language, stringing together low-level operations without mindfulness towards things like data types and functions. And what's typical? So it works like assembly now, but except they're programming without data types or functions, which I'm thinking might be a useful thing to have in a programming language. But Twist, I don't think actually is a higher level language. If I understood it correctly, it's trying to, I guess, move up to the point where we can write something that looks more like a macro assembler. I really, 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 really want to see a quantum programming language because I'm extremely curious at how we're supposed to reason about something that exists in multiple universes. There's a lot of jokes here, but the simple fact of the matter is if a wavefront doesn't collapse, this is the Schrodinger's bug problem. So if the wavefront doesn't collapse, is the program really broken? Do you really know what's going on? It's odd stuff. Perhaps you would have to test this in some sort of statistical fashion. I don't know. Weird. Okay, here. Hey, I just messaged Greg. Okay. Quantum programming languages. Really, really looking forward to this. And actually, it was interesting because the scientist in this interview actually downplays the abilities of quantum computers. It says, you know, we're yet to be seen whether they can actually, you know, be better across the board, which is actually the first time I've heard somebody sort of backpedal a bit on the wonderfulness of quantum. Usually quantum computing is up there with cookies and baseball and apple pie and all that. But now as we start to explore actual machines with real languages, the story has changed a bit. Let's see if it continues to change. So this is yet another super cool story. Lost on the next battlefield, the need to replace GPS. This makes this case something I've been saying for a long, long time, and that is we are far, far too reliant on GPS. It is going to hurt us really, really bad in the next peer level warfare. It's messed up. It's serious. Everybody uses GPS from guy delivering your pizza to the guy shooting a missile somewhere. It's far, far too intrinsic to what we're doing. It's just a single point of failure. And you don't have to think about warfare. You just think about common life. Solar flare takes out the GPS satellites. A lot of people couldn't find their way around town. That's really messed up. And it's not because people are stupid. It's because muscles you don't use atrophy. I'm serious. I think there would be significant portion of the population, 10%, 15%, that could not navigate their own car without a GPS. And that's just an incredibly horrible thing to do to people. So this guy makes the point that they're GPS has three different technologies in it, which are all actually separate things. It's called PNT, and that's position, navigation, and timing. Each of these can be delivered separately. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, has been working on replacing these. I completely agree with this author. If I could put this on a billboard outside my house, I would, because it's single points of failure, extremely bad for us as a society, as a species. And he goes down the list of different things that we can do. But we got really interested. So we start talking about where do we get the thing that replaces it? Because I was really interested in, okay, so GPS is bad. What next? Do we like give everybody compasses and a sextant? No, there are alternative technologies. There's a QoS technology, which is really cool. I would love to see that quantum satellite. What is that called? I don't know. There's a QoS thing. It's quantum satellite launch, long distance landline. Everything's quantum satellite launch. quantum long-distance landline, and a quantum long-distance video conference. Yes, this is going to be McDonald's side. Would you like your quantum fries with your quantum milkshake? Starting to see a pattern in these rounds. A lot of quantums every week. But the thing I thought was really cool over here, the quasar, yes. This is quantum-assisted sensing and readout. And you can find the details in the Nerd article, Nerd Roundup article on DanielBMarkham.com. But there is a quantum-assisted sensing and readout technology, which is would build measurement tools based on atomic properties, which can replace existing navigation systems' ways of figuring out where they are. In other words, these atomic properties aren't vulnerable to drifting over time. They self-calibrate them. That's just amazing. That's amazing to me. How can one look inward to an atom and determine where the atom is? Is it sort of like inertial? Yeah, I don't know. I would like to hear more about this. This is something I'm not interested in diving in like I would with the quantum programming language, but I would be interested in watching like a YouTube video that covers this quasar stuff and the QIS stuff. Neat stuff. I can't wish even more, you know, how quick this thing could change because it's messed up. Damn, we're coming near the end here. We're coming near the end. So, this next one is, and I would have said this was an April Fool's joke had I not read this and did the research on it. The title is Direct Visualization of Electron Motion in Atoms and Molecules. Now, back in my day, back when we discovered the atom in ancient Greece, you couldn't image an atom because it vibrated. That's changed. And you could not image anything inside an atom because, well, as electrons change orbital shells, they absorb and emit radiation. So how would you ever shoot radiation at an atom without changing the atom itself? This is the measurement problem. This is Schrödinger's equation. Heisenberg's equation. So how can you directly visualize electrons moving from shell to shell? I will leave this to you to read the article. I am unconvinced. I know it's a real article, and I feel like they can probably do it, but I am not convinced by the text in this article that I know what the hell's going on. The way I saw it was they're shooting lasers through a substrate next to the atom, and the really, really fast lasers. And as the laser goes through the substrate, the electrons tunnel out of the atom, and then they can catch them tunneling because they tunnel based on their change in shell. It is wild. They could open new ways to understand chemical transformations driven by electron transfer. It's just cray-cray, man. This is what do they call this? An optical quantum. It has to be quantum somewhere. Everything must be quantum now. Attosecond time. Attosecond timelines. There's a current tech, but this actually goes beyond that. It is a space-time quantum microscope. That just sounds cool. Wouldn't you like for Christmas to get like your own home space-time quantum microscope? That would be really cool. Who's here? Somebody's here? Right off. I can add you as a duckling. Okay, so the last article is somebody. Another article that I love the title to. The dinosaurs probably died in June. Not this past June. I'm not sure if it was a rainy day or not, but they think the dinosaurs were all killed in June. This is like one of a list of four or five really mind-bending archaeological or paleontological stories we had over the last year. So the way they did this is they looked at fishes, little fish bones, and I said fishes incorrectly on purpose, looked at little fishes, and I think it was Oregon State. Okay, so you got your little fish and you're swimming around in the river, and meteor comes down, blows up the planet. As you can imagine, this would be a very bad day for you. What happened was the water sloshed in and out of rivers because of the impact. So the ocean would slosh way up and the river would slosh way down. And so it was like a big bathtub with rivers and the ocean instead of the bathtub. I guess that made the fish very unhappy, I would imagine. And after that happened, then it started raining fire from the sky. You think your day's bad, you know, with the water sloshing. You're really having a bad day when fire comes from the sky. So the little fishies actually ingested these fire pellets from the sky. So you may say, well, besides this being a bad day for the fish, this is June. I will tell you how. They looked at the bones of the fish, which have been preserved in the archaeological record at the same time of the extinction event, and they compared those bones to the salmon, I think was the fish they used. And the bones of these type fishes, a sturgeon, actually, the bones of these type fishes change from month to month, depending on whether mating season or, you know, the bowling season, with various things fish do during the year. And they said, hey, you know, these fish died after ingesting these pellets sometime late May or June. And that would be, I think, about 11 million years ago. So the dinosaurs died in June. That was all those vacation plans just shot to hell. I think that's about it. There's a couple articles I ran across. There's a Turing machine built on a Raspberry Pi I haven't had time to look at. Greg sent me a link about, this is the crypto mayors. The mayor of New York City now wants to be paid in cryptocurrency. I haven't had a chance to read this yet. That's going to be really strange. I don't know if you know this, but the past week or so, Bitcoin's taken about a 20% tumble. So I don't know if these guys are going to want to keep getting paid in that or not. I also heard that the descendants of Picasso are interested in taking some of his stuff and making NFTs, non-fungible transactions, out of them so they can get in on the crypto action. And finally, the IRS has said that, you know, cryptocurrencies look like they could be a big hype and scam for some folks. Also, water's wet and the sun is bright. Thank you, IRS, for telling us the thing we already knew. That's it for this week. We've done about 30 minutes or so. We'll see Greg coming back. No, I guess not. Let me do the goodbye thing. There. You have lost yet another 30 minutes of your valuable time listening to Nerd Roundup and watching me screw around with Discord. You saw Greg appear for a second, which was odd. But this is sort of par for the course for Nerd Roundup. Bunch of cool, really cool tech articles. The quantum language thing is cool. The F-sharp language stuff is awesome. The GPS alternatives, the quasar stuff, also really cool. And then the dinosaurs dying in June just blew my mind. And taking pictures of electrons, this is like, taking pictures of electron is like this square circle. Circles can now be squares. It seems to be a contradiction in terms. But this laser dudes think they can do it. Pretty, very cool. I am Daniel Markham. I'm at danielbmarkham.com. You can get the links there. We'll be here every week. I will see you on the internet.